No. All right. Hey, welcome to Zac Efron's Face, a brand new podcast. If you're already been subscribed to this podcast, you might realize that it used to be called The Pussy Centipede, but I changed the name though, so now it's called Zac Efron's Face, and I'm Princess Mia Thermopolis X, the host. And here's my co-host. Hello.
Hi.
What name do you choose to go by?
GD.
What's up, GD? Welcome to Zac Efron's Face.
I think you should explain the format of the podcast and how it's changed from the Pussy Centipede.
Yeah, so the Pussy Centipede was like different storytelling, and this podcast format is now more mainstream, and it's about watching every movie that Zac Efron has made in chronological order, starting with High School the Musical, which
That's not what it's called.
High School Musical.
Yeah. So this movie came out in 2006 and it was a made for TV movie that aired on the Disney Channel. Is that right?
Yeah, and it was made by Kenny Ortega.
Had you seen this movie before?
No, I haven't.
Neither had I. What's your experience with having seen Disney stuff?
I've seen Disney shows like Liv and Maddie with Dove Cameron, where she plays twin sisters, but like mostly older stuff like that. I haven't seen their more recent productions.
That is recent.
No, it's from like 2014.
Okay, well, when did Disney start? Like in the 30s?
Yeah.
I've predominantly seen the older animated movies like Pinocchio and then early 90s ones like Aladdin and The Little Mermaid, and then
I
the
thought
only.
Pinocchio was Roberto Benigni, 2002.
Is this a joke podcast or are we actually
Oh,
talking
yes,
about
fine,
this?
whatever.
And then I've seen a few episodes of Lizzie McGuire kind of randomly, and then I watched that Ross Lynch Beach Party Disney movie with you because you're like obsessed with Ross Lynch.
Yeah, and you watched the show Austin and Ally too with
Yeah,
Ross Lynch.
one episode of that. So I thought, well, do you want to give like a brief summary of what the movie is about?
Yeah, High School the Musical.
It's called High School
Musical.
Musical.
It's about a boy named Troy Bolton, who's played by Zac Efron in his movie debut. He's like the son of a high school basketball coach who was a champion as a teenager, and he's also like the best player on his team and the captain, but he has an interest in like doing musical theater because while he's on vacation during Christmas break, he gets like forced to do karaoke in front of everyone with a random girl who's played by Vanessa Hudgens, and like he really enjoys singing and they connect over the singing, and like it kind of causes him to question his identity as just a basketball player. So like the movie's kind of about questioning your identity and what your parents force you to be and society forces you to be.
So when I was watching the movie, I was kind of drawing comparisons between Zac Efron and Ross Lynch, because I guess the movie High School Musical and the Beach Party movie seemed like really similar, I guess, because they're both these Disney movies, so it was just like really easy to draw the comparison. And I feel like Ross Lynch has more of a presence and is kind of more appealing and likable and seems more interesting.
Why? Because he's better looking?
I mean, it could be because the Beach Musical was better. Like, that movie was like a 50s period piece that was supposed to be like the Annette Funicello like beach kind of thing. So he was, like, dressed up like a greaser with a leather jacket, and they were doing, like, a 50s rock and roll thing, which I think, I don't know, it was cooler than the music in this, which was, like, except for two songs, which were sort of Justin Timberlake, like, poppy songs, most of the songs in the musical were, like, really kind of devoid of any musical style and just, like, I guess what you'd think of as a Disney song. But, I mean, even, like, in Aladdin and The Lion King, there were, you know, standout hits that were really good, and there was nothing in this that really stood out to me as being particularly interesting. So, I guess the beach musical, just the setting of it being a period piece and having more of, like, the rock and roll style made Ross Lynch seem more interesting. So I don't know if Zac Efron had been in that movie, if I would have thought he was better.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, Ross Lynch is also a professional musician full-time and, like, plays almost every instrument. So I think, I don't know, Zac Efron's not, like, a full-time musician and singer, right?
Yeah. But Zac Efron, he has, like, a Justin Bieber hairstyle in this movie, and...
Well, this was 2006, so...
Yeah, isn't that when Justin Bieber was popular?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, it's like an emo haircut, and... I mean, I guess the fashion was interesting to see what was popular in the 2000s, and there's a scene where Vanessa Hudgens, who is the... I don't know what her
Gabriella
name is.
Gabriella Cruz.
She's like the female lead in the movie. At one point, she's wearing one of those Juicy Couture sweatsuits, and that was kind of, like, funny to see. But I think just in general, visually, like, the setting of the high school, which was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but was filmed in Utah, so there's, like, mountains and, like, green trees and green grass everywhere. I don't know, it wasn't, like, super interesting visually, I guess.
Okay, yeah, so whatever. Yeah, so the movie had a pretty, like, visually bland look. So what did you think about the acting, like, Zac Efron's performance?
I don't know, I feel like... Well, I think we should talk more about the plot. Like, the description of the movie on Amazon says that, like, Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens are polar opposites who come together over liking to sing, and his character is just that he's a basketball guy, and they keep saying that he's a basketball guy and describing him in that way, and she's basically like a nerd. Like, she gets transferred to the school from out of state and is supposed to be some kind of, like, genius whiz kid person, and her only personality trait is that she's on, like, she's smart and is doing some, like, academic competition. And basically the basketball team is like, oh no, like, Zac Efron, you're only allowed to play basketball, like, that's the only thing that you can do. And then it's the same with Vanessa Hudgens on her, like, smart person team, and there's a whole musical number where the kids are all, like, dancing in the cafeteria, and it'll be, like, there's the basketball team, and then one of the kids says that he enjoys baking, and they're all like, oh my god, no, like, you can't bake, you have to do the status quo, if you want to be cool, like, stick to what you know. And then there's a girl on the smart person, like, nerd team, and she says she likes hip-hop and then describes breakdancing, which I thought was, like, kind of weird. But they kind of go through all the different groups in the school and say that you're only allowed to do one thing and have one interest, pretty much. So just the way the characters are set up is sort of, like, inherently bland and boring, because they're really just these, like, one-dimensional, like, tropes of the way a person could be in high school, I guess. And I thought it was pretty interesting that this was made in 2006, because I feel like if something like this was made now, that whole concept probably wouldn't be in there, because it seems, like, really dated and weird to be like, oh, you can only identify in one way and have one interest.
I don't know. I just feel like the movie started out with the same setup as Grease, with two kids meeting on vacation, and then I thought it was just going to be, like, similar to that, but, like, it ended up, like, the story just isn't nearly as interesting, and, like, I don't know, like, it just didn't have anything that was good about Grease in it. I mean, it's weird how Grease was also in a high school, but it was so much more adult, and, like, it wasn't, like, very asexual, like, the way this show was, or movie was.
Yeah, I was picking up on that a lot, too. Like, in the opening scene, so the winter vacation where they sing the karaoke together, they're at, like, a ski lodge in Colorado, I think, and it's New Year's Eve, and after they sing together, it's the New Year's countdown, and it looks like they're about to kiss, and then they're like, oh, I have to go say Happy New Year to my mom, and I think they're juniors in high school, because in one of the scenes, they talk about how Zac Efron was the first sophomore to ever be on the varsity basketball team. And, I mean, they're either sophomores or juniors. But anyway, they, like, don't kiss at that time. And they actually, like, never kiss at any time in the movie. Like, at the end of the movie where everyone's, like, happy and triumphant, they almost kiss and then don't also. And I don't know. I mean, I know that, like, in Aladdin, that Aladdin and Jasmine kiss, and, you know, like, most Disney movies that I've seen have more of a, like, an explicit love story, and this movie, it's, you know, it's set up as though it's a love story between them, but you could read it that they're just, like, mutual friends, because there's so little of that going on, and I don't know if that's because it's, like, geared towards, like, people who are five, or, but I mean, you know, even the Disney movies that are rated G have kissing, so I just, it was really weird to see something set in high school where there's, like, so little references to, like, dating or flirting or anything like that.
It was weird, too, how the villains in the movie, Sharpay and her brother, who were trying to have the lead role and sabotage it for Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens and their brother and sister, but they kind of have, like, this, like, sexual tension, and they're always dancing together, and, like, it's, like, kind of doing grinding and, like, grinding on each other, and, like, it's kind of weird how it's, like, such, it's, like, incest, but then the brother is also, seems like he's queer-coded in a way where you're supposed to assume he's gay. Or it seems like it's implied, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought initially. And then once I realized, like, halfway through the movie that he was her brother, I was pretty confused. But so they're the villains in the movie. And when Sharpay is introduced, she explains to Vanessa Hudgens, or maybe just in general, there's a scene where they're holding auditions for the musical, and basically it's like American Idol when they show all of the really horrible singers, and everyone who auditions is terrible, and there's nobody who does a serious audition. And then it's explained that Sharpay has been in 17 school theater productions and basically is just a shoo-in for the lead role every time, and she and her brother do this, like, really elaborately staged audition that's totally professional. And
yeah, and they also, the pianist who actually wrote the play, they insist on using their own personal pianist's rendition and altering it from what, like, the actual composer wrote.
Right, who's the pianist? Like, it's a student who's playing the piano for all of the auditions, except for when Sharpay and her brother do it. So they kind of, like, override her, even though it's her creation.
Yeah, and Sharpay also threatens her and, like, makes it clear that if she, like, doesn't always defer to her, that her career is going to be, like, completely destroyed as a musician.
So they're the villains, and then after they audition, what's her name? Gabriella.
And Zac, Vanessa Hudgens.
What's Zac Efron's name?
Troy Bolton.
Troy and Gabrielle are, like, hiding in the wings of the theater, and the drama teacher is like, oh, is there anyone else who wants to audition? And then, like, they end up auditioning, and even though they've only ever sang once ever at the karaoke in the beginning, at which time they were, you know, amazing and, like, professionally harmonizing together and stuff, they're able to do it again. And then the Ashley Tisdale Sharpay character is all threatened, and so anyway, she and her brother are, like, the villains in the movie, trying to basically stop Gabrielle and Troy from being in the musical.
Yeah.
But so there's Sharpay and her brother, and then there's also the conflict between, you know, the basketball team and, like, the academic decathlon or whatever, being like, no, like, they can't be in the musical, they need to do our thing. And then,
well, Troy's best friend Chad is on the basketball team, and he's, like, all upset when he finds out that Troy is into music, especially.
And then they're supposed to be, like, the big game on Friday, which I guess is, like, the state championships, and there's this whole, like, meeting with the team and the Zac Efron's dad, who's the basketball coach, and he, like, I guess he went to state or something and didn't win, and it's like, oh, the whole team and, like, your dad's, like, love and approval are all totally, you know, reliant upon you playing in the basketball game and winning, and it seems like there's all this pressure on Zac Efron, and it's, like, really kind of weird.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, just the way that he's treated in the school is, like, very bizarre, and the way that everyone behaves, like, doesn't really seem realistic. Like, it feels like it's, like, some kind of, like, Lars von Trier movie where it's all, like, absurd and surreal.
How?
Well, like, how everyone in the school makes a big deal about how you, like, can only do one thing.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Like, when I was in school, nobody even, like, cared what you did or paid attention to you for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was funny, too, in the Status Quo song where the skater group, like, it's, like, pretty clear that they're, like, stoners, but they, you know, obviously can't talk about that since it's a Disney movie, and then it's, they don't really explicitly say, like, what the group is, but it's, like, guys wearing baggy pants and, like, beanie hats, and they're, like, looking all tired. So I don't even know, like, what that group was supposed to be, but that's the one where the kid plays the cello and they, like, make fun of him.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I guess initially you asked, like, what I thought about the acting performance, and the only performance that I thought was notable was Ashley Tisdale as Sharpay. Like, her character, she was, you know, kind of, like, mean and scheming, and, like, she has a motive to where, you know, she wants to stay in the musical, and she thinks that that's what she deserves, and, you know, she puts a lot of effort into doing the performances and stuff, but she's sort of, like, a mean girl trying to sabotage things, and she's pretty much the only character who has any discernible personality, and, like, you know, she makes some good facial expressions and conveys emotions and feeling. Like, I feel like she's the only one who's really doing acting. Like, nobody else has any kind of discernible personality or, like, interest other than being like, I'm the basketball guy, like, I'm the new girl, I'm smart.
Well, the drama teacher kind of has a personality.
Yeah,
and that, she says musical instead of musical.
She's, like, a totally over the top. Well, it's interesting because for how bland the movie is with all of the characters basically being nothing, then she's, like, a totally, like, campy, over-the-top, like, ridiculous, cartoonish performance. And I mean, I guess it works. And she's also kind of a villain, so I guess the only characters who have any personality are, like, the villain characters in the movie. But anyway, eventually, after the nerd club and the basketball team try to, like, sabotage Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens doing the audition together, they arrange for Zac Efron to be, like, talking badly about singing and wanting to do the musical, and Vanessa Hudgens sees it, like, on a webcam in real time, and then she cries. So the kids all conspire to, like, cancel the audition so that they can win their academic challenge and the basketball game. But eventually they make up, and then all of the kids are like, oh, like, we're sorry, you know, like, you can be a basketball guy and do singing, like, we support you. So, and they figure it out on their own too, like, so the kids, even though they do something that's, like, selfish, they all kind of come around and then support them in doing the audition. But, like, the whole movie, like, the entire conflict in the movie is, can they audition for a musical together? Like, I thought it was gonna actually be about a musical, but it's just about, like, can Troy and Gabrielle attend the callback audition? It's like a really low stakes, like, pretty boring plot.
Well, I think in part two they probably have a musical for real.
I know, but, like, I don't know if they knew that there would be a part two when they made this one. Like, I just feel like the movie, the events that take place in the movie would be, like, the first, like, 35 minutes of a movie. And for a musical, I thought the song, like, there was no song that was, like, standout or particularly catchy. And there also weren't that many songs in it. Like, usually in a musical, isn't there a song, like, every 15 minutes?
I don't know. Like, yeah, it wasn't really like a full musical. It was like, musicals usually don't have that much regular dialogue.
Yeah, like this, I think there were like six songs.
Probably six or seven.
I don't know. I mean, the main thing I was thinking when I was watching it was, like, I felt that it didn't really give a good message. Like, I know in the end, they're like, yeah, it's cool, you can sing and do basketball, but just the fact that they had a whole song that's like, if you want to be cool, you have to do the status quo. And it's like, you know, it was a very, like, conformist, like, weird message for students to be singing about in a high school. And I don't think it was, like, really a positive thing.
But the movie was against what they were singing. They were wrong in that.
I know. Well, I mean, I said that they changed their mind in the end, but there's not really any kind of big reveal where the students are like, oh my god, we were so wrong, like, it's great to be yourself. Like, it's just sort of, like, transitions into, like, oh, I guess it's cool now. And I feel like there wasn't enough of a 180 to justify the way it was in the beginning. Like, it would be one thing if all the teachers were like, no, you have to only be one way, and then the students were like, no, like, we're gonna do what we want. But I just think it was creepy, like, seeing all of the kids being so, like, I don't know, so, like, controlling to each other. But, and I don't know if that's normal for high schools, because, you know, I went to, like, a small, like, pretty artsy school where we didn't really have, like, groups and sports in that way, and people were pretty free to just kind of do whatever they wanted. So I don't know if that was, like, realistic of how people act, like, in high school.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, you didn't go to, like, a regular school.
Yeah.
Like, if you went to a public school, the movie was, like, close to how it would have been.
Really?
Yeah. Did you notice that they referenced the Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor as an example of, like, a smart woman?
Oh, yeah.
And how, like, in 2006, that probably was, like, I feel like now it would only be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like, because, like, now they just pretend like Sandra Day O'Connor never existed just because she was a Republican.
Oh, I was just going to ask that.
Like, she was, like, a feminist icon then, and now all of a sudden it's like she just doesn't exist anymore.
Well, also the what was it, the academic decathlon? Like, whatever that team was, was that an all-girls team?
No, there were some boys on it.
Okay, but they don't, like, have any speaking parts.
No. Like, almost no one had a speaking part who wasn't, like, a main character.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I was noticing that, too. Like, I mean, the obvious comparisons to this movie are, like, Grease and West Side Story. And, like, in Grease, you know, there's Rizzo and the other pink ladies sort of all have, like, different personalities. And what are the guys called? Like, T-Birds?
No, Thunderbirds.
The Thunderbirds. Like, there's Kinnicky and, like, the different ones. And, I mean, I haven't seen Grease in probably, like, 20 years or more. But that, I just... What?
The actor who played Kinnicky struggled with drug problems for a long time.
Oh. But anyway, I'm just saying, like, you know, in a big ensemble cast, you can have some more, like, characters to make it more interesting. And this, like, really the only character was Sharpay, who was supposed to be, like, mean. Like, that was the only personality trait that you could have in the movie.
Well, yeah, and I think Ashley Tisdale was, like, well, I guess Ashley Tisdale and Zac Efron were probably the biggest stars from that movie. Or maybe Vanessa Hutchins was.
At the time when it was made or afterwards?
No, around that time. And then Ashley Tisdale had, like, a career as a pop star. And, like, a couple of her songs were written by Katy Perry. Like, pretty interesting, don't you think?
I guess.
A song called Time's Up.
I don't remember her having, being a pop star.
Well, they were on Disney Channel, the songs.
Oh, so you're not talking about, like, into the pop charts?
No.
Okay.
Kesha used to write for Disney then, too. They must have been under the same contract or something.
I don't know. I just, like, I thought it was entertaining enough. Like, it was an hour and 37 minutes long, and it didn't feel like a total, like, slog of misery. Like, once it was, like, 20 minutes in, I was, like, pretty okay, like, watching the movie, and things were, like, moving along. But, I don't know, I guess it was kind of, like, soulless. And, I mean, like I said initially, I don't have much experience with live-action Disney, so I don't know if this is just how they are, like...
Well, this was a Disney TV movie also, so it was probably lower budget.
Yeah, but you don't need a budget to have, like a soul or, like, character to your movie, right?
I don't know. It was directed by Kenny Ortega. I think his name sounds familiar, but I don't know what else he made.
I don't know.
He might have done Footloose, but probably not.
I thought the dancing, like, the choreography was good, and in one of the good songs, Get in the Game, that's, like, a basketball song about being focused on playing basketball, they do all this choreography with basketballs, and they're, like, throwing them up and catching them and dancing with the basketballs, so I thought that was impressive to see.
Yeah, I thought the choreography was good, like, I thought that the visuals were pretty, like, bland in the school, and, like, I don't know. I think that Vanessa Hutchins was good as, like, the lead. She's always really likable in shows that I've seen her in.
She reminded me a lot of Maya Mitchell from, oh, yeah, from The Fosters and Good Trouble. I feel like Vanessa Hudgens' look is, like, the same as Maya Mitchell. And even, they both kind of talk in this weird, like, sweet baby voice. Like, I don't think that that's really what Vanessa Hudgens' voice sounds like. It sounded like she was doing a put-on, like, you know, how you would talk to a cat or something. And that kind of struck me as being weird.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, I mean, we watched that show where she lives in a world where there's, like, superheroes in real life. And I think her voice sounded pretty normal in that show, but, like, in this she was like, you know, like, I can't do the blah blah blah, like, I don't know, she just kind of talked like a weird baby.
Yeah, well, she was still very young. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think girls' voices, like, change like how guys do.
Did you know that Ashley Tisdale has her own production company?
No.
And she produced the Daphne and Velma Scooby-Doo spinoff movie that people always complain about.
Oh, she did? I didn't know that. Oh, I wanted to say another comparison was on the Fosters, the Romeo and Juliet musical, and that's a...
R&J.
Yeah, R&J.
That was a rock opera.
Well, that's a student-produced musical that's set in a high school, and, I mean, The Fosters is, like, pretty racy and not a general audience family-friendly show, so I don't really think it's a great comparison, but just, like, I thought the songs were a lot more engaging and catchy, and it was more, like, dramatic and interesting. I mean, I just think this movie, like, while it was entertaining and okay to watch, there's, like, never any sense of, like, stakes or drama or intensity and, or, like, connection. And back to the characters, like, the girl who wrote the musical and she's the composer and she's playing the piano. I don't think they say her name at any time, and she's only referred to as being a short girl. Like, they call her short girl, like, move over, short girl. Like, she's this totally weird, like, non-entity. And, you know, you'd think maybe she'd have some more dialogue or be more of a character if she actually, like, wrote and composed a whole musical as a high school student. Like, that's pretty, you know, impressive, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the show must have been made for, like, very young teenagers, like 16 or something, just because everything seemed very, like, dumbed down.
No, this was made for, like, a 9-year-old to watch.
Maybe.
Are you kidding?
It was very popular at the time. I remember my niece was, like, obsessed with it.
Right, and she was probably, like, 9, right?
No, she was, like, 5.
Okay. So there you go. Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. But even for a 5-year-old, like, I think if we watched The Lion King, there'd be more emotion and action and stakes and intensity, like...
Yeah, well, people get killed in The Lion King.
Yeah.
I mean, the Disney cartoon movies are a lot darker.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's why I keep drawing a distinction about not having seen a lot of live-action Disney, because the stuff that I have seen seems really kind of, like, cheesy and sort of, like, nothing. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean,
they sold, like, a ton of toys with this, like... I have the toy of the high school.
Yeah, so that would indicate that it's, like, made for little kids to watch, because, like, teenagers aren't playing with dolls in, like, a toy high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was a children's movie, and I guess children can't deal with characters, like, having personality traits. But even, like, Saved by the Bell, like, they all had distinct character. I mean, I watched that when I was, like, maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah, but that show was a lot more, like, adult.
That wasn't for children to watch.
I mean, it was both, but it had, like, lots of really adult situations that even, like, a modern-day adult show wouldn't have now.
Oh.
Like, one time Zach had a girl hiding in his closet. And Jesse was addicted to drug pills, remember? There was that famous episode where she said... I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, do you have anything else to say about the movie?
No, I just thought it was pretty, like, mediocre. Like, I thought it was gonna be more interesting. Like, Teen Beach Movie was, like, a much better movie all around for, like, a Disney teen musical, and, like, had much better characters and, like, performances and production.
Yeah, well, and also, wasn't there, like, some sense of stakes, like... In that movie, the main character is a girl in modern times, and she somehow gets transported, like, back into the 50s, and then she's, like, living out the movie there, and I think, does she fall in love with Ross Lynch, and then she ends up going back to the future?
Oh, her and Ross Lynch both get sent to the 60s, and then they fall in love and then go home.
Oh, okay.
But Maya Mitchell's from the future also. And Ross Lynch.
Oh, so they both go back in time and then come back into the future.
Yeah, like, she's gonna move away forever from Hawaii, and then she gets sucked into the movie with him, and he knows what the movies are because he watches them and she doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But the situation causes her to realize she, like, loves him and doesn't want to leave Hawaii.
Right, so, like, to me that's more of, like, a drama than... Can we audition for the musical?
Yeah.
I don't know, like...
Well, it's silly that the whole movie is them trying to do one callback for the musical, and it's... I mean, what? Oh, I was gonna say that I think that Zac Efron is, like, pretty charismatic in the movie, and it's, like, makes sense why he became such a big deal at the time.
Yeah.
I feel like his character is very likable, even though he's, like, not even written in any way. He's just, like, nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because he's good-looking, I think.
And, like, his dad just seems like a total asshole. Like, he almost seems, like, abusive. Like, I think in a normal movie, he'd probably be, like, a villain or something.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because in the beginning, when they're in the ski resort on the vacation, his mom is in the movie for and has, like, one line of dialogue, and then she never appears in the movie again.
Yeah, well, it felt like they didn't have a lot of money for, like, extras. Like, it seemed like they tried to avoid to limit scenes to, like, two people as much as they could.
Yeah.
Especially for, like, a movie about musicals.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the best parts of the movie were the parts with Sharpay and her brother performing and their overall their acting.
Yeah, they were, I mean, like I said before, they were really the only characters in the movie that had any kind of personality at all.
Okay, so any closing thoughts on the High School Musical?
No, but I wanted to ask why you wanted to do this series about Zac Efron's filmography.
I don't know.
And also future television Netflix special.
What? Who's? I don't know. I just thought it would be weird.
But, like, what made you think of it?
Because I think normally when you watch and experience movies, you, like, pick stuff and follow a familiar pattern, but if you're just gonna watch everything Zac Efron's been, that's gonna force you to, like, see movies that you never would have seen.
The only movie with Zac Efron that I'm aware of having seen is Baywatch, and you too. Have you seen anything else he was in?
We saw Baywatch, the Ted Bundy movie on Netflix, remember?
We watched that?
Yeah. It was pretty crappy, but we watched it. It was boring. And also,
oh, yeah, I remember that now.
We watched, like, the first 10 minutes of Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Oh my god, are you kidding me? I feel like this is, like, a spousal abuse situation.
Well, the next movie, I think it's either High School Musical 2 or something called Wanda. I don't know, I have to check his thing.
Okay.
Well, anyway, if you like the show, please check it out and share. I'm Princess Mia Thermopolis X of Genovia, and this is my co-host.
GD.
GD. Alright.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Zac Efron's Face.